especially for your help and that anointing, both of the speaker and the hearer. Lord, that the hearts will be ready, that, Lord, that your word will fall on good ground. And we thank you for arranging circumstances in our life in such a way that it prepares our heart to receive your word. So, Lord, won't you again speak to us, and we thank you again for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So I want to this morning have a very brief word that's on my heart. I've had a couple of things on my heart. First, I'd like us to be praying about speakers on Sunday morning. We are looking to ask other brothers from various places. We've asked David Pang if he might consider and sharing a word, maybe one of the brothers up in the Bay Area, and so on. We want to try to draw these brothers in, and we appreciate their love for the Lord and just their faithfulness in bringing the word. So please pray during these times. We are still looking to be on Zoom for a while yet, together on Sunday mornings. We are, of course, planning to meet for the Lord's table on the 16th in the evening. I think, tentatively, and we'll confirm it tonight in the brothers' meeting. There will be a brothers' meeting, by the way, that we will have it in the evening, a little later to get away from the sun and the heat. I think we're possibly looking at 7 o'clock, but that'll be confirmed. But it will be the 16th. So we hope that you'll just mark that and be praying. Pray for our safety. We can't assume anything here, and that it'll be a blessing for all of us to be together in person. So if you could open your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 3, we want to look at just a few very familiar verses out of this book that is Paul's last book, it is thought. I believe it to be true. Shortly after this, he was martyred for the Lord. He was re-imprisoned, and he's writing to his young son, one of many sons that he had in the faith, but Timothy seems to have had a special place with Paul. By the way, I was on my heart to share regarding the wounds, the 6 wounds of the Lord Jesus, the crown, the side, and the hands and feet. So maybe at another time I will bring it. This seemed to just speak to my heart. And so beginning in chapter 2, verse 10, or excuse me, chapter 3, 2 Timothy, chapter 3, verse 10, we'll look at just a number of things that Paul is writing back to Timothy. And we'll read it through and then come back and make a few comments. But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch and at Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endured. And out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Notice 3 things in that sentence. You have learned, you've been assured of, and whom you learned it from. Just hold that. And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work.
Amen.
So here we have the Word of God is given a marvelous place with Paul. Even though the canon of Scripture, the 66 books, had not been even close to being compiled as one book, much of the Old Testament was in, was still in partial form as well, the 39. But yet Paul recognized that in order to be equipped for the work that Timothy and all of us have, the scripture was the measuring stick. It was the place from which we received, and he received instruction, encouragement, and as he says here, correction, and that it is profitable for everything. And I can't think of anything for the Apostle Paul at all, or anyone, to his passing words to once again encourage this, his young protege, Timothy, and all who would hear and read these words, that the Word of God is the mainstay for the believer. I'm glad we don't have to say that over and over again, even though we hear it quite a bit in this meeting. We love the Word. We study it together in various places. And we, once again, are reminded how important the Word is, not what men say. What does the Word say? What thus saith the Lord? And so may this continue to be, in these days especially, that we will, when we come to the Word of God, we are asking him to speak something fresh and new and real to our hearts. But before we get there, let's go back up to verse 10. Paul is, again, encouraging. I trust everyone can hear me okay. Am I coming through all right? But you have carefully followed my doctrine. Timothy apparently was a particularly careful student of the Word and of Paul. This is a poignant point for us to carefully follow the Word of God. Sometimes we can be very careless about it. We can sort of develop many of our own pet peeves about the Bible and about certain doctrines. We need to know the whole of the Bible. We need to be ambidextrous, I've been saying for the last couple of years to my own heart and life. That is, knowing the Old and the New Testament, following it carefully, not just in the head, but in the heart. And as we come to the Lord and seek from him his word, he will make it a heart matter. But Timothy carefully followed the doctrine. The word is didache or didactris or didacti. I'm not sure how you say it, but it's a word used. It's referred to in Acts at the very beginning in chapter 2, verse 42, and they continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. We are not just following the words of men in this generation. We are following right from the beginning, the great apostle and high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, his teaching that was passed to his apostles and has come down so faithfully, even in dark times, to the church, to God's people, to mankind, to the hungry heart. But they continued steadfast. Like the disciples in the days of the first Pentecost, we continue steadfastly in the teachings of the apostles, which is none other than the teachings of Jesus. Manner of life, the way Paul lived. How did Paul live? Paul was a man who did not try to take advantage of any circumstance. He said in one place to the Corinthians that though he had the right to take from the gospel, that is, to take monetary compensation, he didn't do it. I think this shows a great deal of discernment and character on the part of this great apostle. Discernment in that I think he discerned that the Corinthians could not be trusted, that they were a bit immature. In fact, he said that he was speaking to them as babes. That had he taken money from them, they would have copied that part of it, that even in our own generation, the amount of money and transaction that has gone through the church has been a horrible testimony to the church, but it's also been a it's been a weakening to the church and its testimony. His manner of life was sacrificial. He sacrificed himself. And he seemed to gather around himself those who themselves as well would sacrifice their time and their effort and trust the Lord for the rest. The manner of life, his manner of life in prayer, in travailing, agonizing prayer, he said he is constantly worried about the churches. He wanted Timothy to emulate his manner of life. His friendship with so many, his love for so many. Now, where do we get this from? Romans 16, there are no less than 23 people that he mentions by name. By the way, most of them are women. This was not some ugly, sordid relationship he had. These were love relationships in the kingdom of God. It was his manner of life. I'm so grateful myself for the brothers and sisters.
Amen.
And how grateful we all, I think, ought to be every day for each other, for being put together, kept together, strengthened together in Christ for some of us for a lot of years now. The manner of life in which Paul was an example was a remarkable thing and testimony for Timothy and for the whole church. His purpose. Paul talked a lot about purpose. In Ephesians chapter 3, we know that his purpose in verse 8 of chapter 3, to me who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. That was one of his purposes in life, the unsearchable riches of Christ. How can we explain? How can we hope to fully understand and appreciate the unsearchable riches of Christ? The first being forgiveness of sin. The first being an open heaven above our heads because of Christ did what he did for us. And that is only the beginning for us. In Philippians chapter 3, he also says, not that I've already attained or I've already perfected or complete, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ has laid hold of me. This was also his purpose. He forgot the things that were behind. Sometimes it's very hard to leave things behind. Very hard. But the Lord, I think Christianity is one of going on, pressing on, moving on. There were some over 20 places in the wilderness that are given to us in detail in the book of Numbers. We were in the middle of that study when the COVID-19 hit, that they moved from place to place in the wilderness. Each one of them was significant. Some of them, we don't know what happened, but they are noted as a place where they were. The Lord was faithful in each of those places. Each of those places, he did something. He did them. Sometimes he did them and was angry at their unbelief. But because of his love and his loving kindness, he did it anyway. He did it to show them and to show all of his people for all time that we must press on. We must move on. He moves on. We must move on. May the Lord help us, comfort us, strengthen us to lay hold of that for which Christ has laid hold of us. And he does have that something specific in mind in that regard. Paul's faith. Now that these each stand alone in their own perspective in Paul's life. His faith. Paul had to have faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Paul was not excluded. He didn't once and for all reach the pinnacle or never need his faith tested and renewed and strengthened. And neither do we. God tomorrow may bring something across our life that is intended not to bring us down, but rather to strengthen our faith.
Yep.
Strengthen us in our trust in him. I, for one, am very grateful for his persistent work, and I am most grateful that he's kept a strong hand on my wrist with a strong grip to keep going. Paul is assuring Timothy that God, even though he was about to leave, that is, Paul was about to leave the scene. Imagine how heartbroken this had to have been to Timothy and many others that Paul would suddenly be gone. Yet Christ is faithful. We don't look to a man. We don't look to men. We don't look to organizations. We don't look to a particular liturgy, though we appreciate many liturgies, and we can call them that. We look to Christ. We look to the Lord Jesus. We look to his faithfulness, to his bride, to his lovely one, of which we are very much if we know him. Persecutions. Paul was persecuted. He was almost constantly persecuted. In a world at that time, in the Roman world, most religions were tolerated by the Roman government. Many Christians, myself included, I think have held a bit of a mistake in thinking that somehow Rome was Paul's enemy. Rome was Christianity's enemy. Actually, Paul mentions three places, Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. His enemies there were not Rome. It was his own countrymen who were envious, fellow Jews. Those who should have been right alongside of Paul became his worst enemy, his worst detractor. Sometimes it is those closest to us, those who we hope will stand by us and stand with us, become our persecutors. The afflictions that happened to him, and he, as we just said, these afflictions were, he was stoned at Lystra, left for dead. Aren't you glad they left him for dead? Somebody didn't come up with one last rock and crush his head. They figured he was dead. Well, he wasn't dead. He mentions this in his own testimony numerous times, that he was stoned once. Antioch and Iconium, he was there and in the synagogue to bring the good news that the Messiah had come. But he was rejected. He was persecuted by his own countrymen. He even says it with his last comment, "What persecutions I endured." He's not full of self-pity here. He's just acknowledging a fact. He fell under persecution. And it was the worst kind. It was from the nearest and dearest to Paul. Then he warns us, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. We often leave out that live godly in this statement. We say, yes, all who are in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. There are many Christians who don't make their faith and belief known. They're afraid of suffering. I'm afraid of suffering. I don't want to suffer. May the Lord give us great boldness, and may we have the life, a godly life, a life that is worthy of God. Somewhere Paul says this, walk worthy of the Lord. He's called you to himself. I hope it doesn't sound like I'm lecturing you. Please forgive me. By the way, I got an email from a brother, a text from a brother this morning, not in our meeting. He said he was praying for me, and he was praying He said, I'm praying especially that the Lord will help you to be yourself and don't lecture people. It almost made me want to say, I'm not going to speak. I feel sometimes like I lecture people. Please forgive me. I'm a faulty man. But Paul rejoiced. He was delivered from them all. Out of them all, the Lord delivered me. And all who desire to live godly in Christ. Do I desire to live godly in Christ? In everything. In all things. What things were okay for me even 25 years ago are not the same anymore. There are some things you just have to cut them off. You have to pluck out the eye. You have to cut off the hand. You have to do violence. We have to do violence in order to go on with the Lord. It's all right. It'll be worth it. You'll see. It'll be worth it. But evil men and imposters, again, another warning, evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Paul wrote this 2,000 years ago, nearly. I saw the truth of this on the news yesterday. And I probably would have seen it today if I bothered to turn on the news. There are imposters, political, religious, in every stripe, imposters. And they seem to be increasing. Isn't it wonderful that the Word has given us something that is current to our day? And they will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived themselves. It's a description of our own immediate generation in 2020. Take heart, Christian. The Lord knows. He stands by us. He's with us. He's warning us here. Now, verse 14, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from where you learn them. Now, I like these three things. I mentioned this. Let's examine it for a moment. The things which you have learned. You know, many of the things we learn, like in Timothy's life, started very early in our lives. I remember as a boy going to church. I can still remember singing some of those childlike songs. I learned something about Jesus. It was very, very rudimentary. It was rather simple, but it stuck with me. I actually learned it. Jesus loves me, this I know. We need to remember the things we've learned. We need to take them to heart, however old they are. We need to take them out and refresh them now and again. Remind ourselves. Greg mentioned to us last week about the, I believe he said, the things getting back to basics. I think this falls in with one of those. I'm so glad so many things about the Lord have been indelibly marked upon my heart, like indelible ink, written by the pen of the Holy Spirit. Paul is accentuating this to Timothy. Those things which you've learned and been assured of. There's many things I'm assured of by what I've learned. Knowing whom you have learned them from. Now, the great teacher is the Lord Jesus. I think he teaches us through the Holy Spirit. But I have to say, he's used a lot of men and women in my life to be his spokesperson in these matters. Who did I learn it from? Well, I immediately, many of us can say, Floyd. Floyd gave me some personal things, besides the things that were from the pulpit. He gave me personal fellowship and time that has stuck. I think many of us have these kind of vital relationships. And may the Lord make each of us with our children, our grandchildren, with our neighbor, our wives, our husbands, our children. May we be teachers in our own right, not lecturers, teachers. And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures. Now you wonder, the word childhood here is the same word used to describe Jesus as a swaddled. It's the same word when he was swaddled in the manger. So this childhood that Paul is referring to is the early, early years of Timothy's life. His mother, his grandmother that Paul acknowledges, Eunice, the faith that was in them that was passed along. I see on this Zoom so many mothers here who have, with their own children, have sung to their children about the Lord, have read the scripture to their children. Take heart. Be assured. The Holy Scriptures, that's what they are. The Holy Scriptures will speak because God is committed to his word. Its resting place is the heart of man. And then Paul says, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So he goes beyond the knowledge of the Bible, the technical aspects of it. What I mean by that is that there's the technical side of the word, the when, the where, and the who. But how do I use it in life? As our brother Ed says, he has a tune, he kind of hums. He says, da 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 da, when we quote a scripture. La 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 la. That's not wisdom. Wisdom is when it is applied to daily life, to a broken relationship, to someone who needs our encouragement, someone who needs us to stand with them. It is from the Holy Scriptures, and I'm glad Paul calls it holy, because they are, they're separate. Again, keep in mind, there was no Holy Bible yet. Yet here it is, before it was. God calls into existence things that are not as though they were. His own word, and they're able to make you wise. So in wrapping it up here in verse 16, Paul had to, and we've already said this, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. The mystery and wonder of how the scripture came about is a marvelous lesson and instruction all of its own. But he tells us it is profitable. It is profitable. Of all the things I own, I would like to think that my Bible is the most precious. That if we were having a fire, I would grab my Bible first. Not my iPad. I would try to grab my iPad if I could get to it. But I would grab my Bible. When life throws things at us, do I look for the profit, the profitability of the Bible in that situation? Do I come to the Word of God? Sometimes I come to the Word. I spend my time with the Lord in the mornings. I don't know where to go. I finished a book, and I don't know where to go. So I ask Jesus, Lord, where do you want me to go? And he's always faithful. I'll even read something that appears to me to be random. I decided the other day to read Ecclesiastes. 5 days later, I was still reading it. It so spoke to me. The vanity of man, the vanity of life apart from my God. Nothing is worth it except only God. I left with that impression upon my heart. Nothing else matters except God. But it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof. It corrects us. It's a mirror. It gives us instruction in righteousness. So these verses just really came alive in the last few days, and more alive just even in the last 24 hours as I spent time with the Lord. Paul's final word to Peter, to Timothy and to us, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. I'm equipped by the word of God. So may the Lord encourage our hearts in his love. May we be aware that we live in a day of imposters. How grateful I am. The word of God is not an imposter. Well, let's have a could one or two just seal the time in prayer, please.